Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Life on the front lines requires you to step up your game. Owned and operated by former Navy SEAL Sean Mattson, CardoMax has designed just the right supplements for you and is offering Drinking Bros an exclusive offer. Buy one, get one free on your first order. Go to CardoMax.com and use the promo code DB. That's CardoMax.com, helping you achieve your max. Yes! Welcome to Drinking Bros. Kids, man, I got a childhood fave on today, Dan.
Yeah.
Get a chat. One of my favorites. Gilbert Godfrey is here today.
Oh wow.
Gilbert, how are you?
Hi, how are you? Yeah. Well, that's all I have to say. Yeah. Well, thanks. It's been great talking to you. Yeah. I'm tired out because "Hi, how are you?" was an ad lib for me. So now I gotta go lie down.
Yeah, that's your one improv of the day, and now you're all finished. And I understand it. How many times?
Well, I could do one more improv if the audience gives me a location and a profession.
Perfect. Bus driver, Chicago, Illinois.
Hi. I'm driving to Chicago, Illinois. Huh? Just right on the dot, I thought of that.
One of the
have improv groups ever actually been funny?
No, not on purpose.
No, and it's so uncomfortable, especially living in LA, when somebody invites you to their improv, and you're like, no, I don't want to go see your improv group. Did you start off in improv or any of that stuff on the come up?
No, I mean, I've improvised on stage, but never in a group. Those always scared me.
Yeah, it's weird because when you move to Los Angeles and they're like, all right, great. You got the Groundlings, you got UCB. But once you audition for those classes and you're kind of in there with the other people, you realize that it's probably a skill that you're born with, not so much one that can be taught, I've found.
Maybe it's Maybelline, too.
Maybe.
I never liked putting the outcome of something like that in the hands of other people. In college, for example, doing group projects, mm-hmm. Fuck that. Because I actually give a shit, so I'm concerned that I'm going to end up doing all the work, and then some asshole is going to get credit for some work they didn't do. Look, this is America.
That's me.
This is America. We don't do that here.
Well, we do that here. And since it is America, I would always partner up with an Asian kid, have them knock out all of the heavy lifting, and then I would be the guy who does the presentations.
Now, there's a rumor that, Gilbert, you're Asian. Is that true?
Yeah, I've gotten that. Like when I was in my teens and 20s, people thought I was Puerto Rican. And that somehow I turned Asian along the way.
I think actually Puerto Rico is in Southeast Asia.
No. Close. Yeah, it's super close.
I don't
know.
Who knows?
Who knows? Who knows, Gilbert?
See, but now because I look Asian, had this been years ago, I could have actually been playing in all the Charlie Chan movies and Mr. Moto, and that now that could never happen.
No. I was just talking about earlier Lin-Manuel Miranda being canceled because that In the Heights movie that came out over the weekend, they didn't have enough dark, as they called it, Afro Latinos, which I didn't know was a thing. And he had to issue an apology today for making a Latino movie without dark enough Latinos in it.
Oh, well, see, things haven't gone too far. Yeah, it drives me. And also that you have to be the same ethnic group as the cartoon character that you're doing a voice for. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's weird. Like the dude that did on Family Guy, that played the black guy in Family Guy, he's a white
Cleveland
guy.
He had to quit. Yeah. You do a ton of voiceover work. Did you have to get rid of any of your gigs because you were white and you were playing different races?
Yes, because of my new Amos and Andy cartoon. I was getting in a lot of trouble.
Oh, our younger fans won't get that one.
No, but that hit, that's a deep cut that I appreciate.
When is it going to go? When's the ASPCA or something going to be like, hey, you're not actually a dog? Can we please get some dogs in here to fucking voice these dog characters?
Oh, we're close.
It's coming, right?
Yes. Because right now they're saying, look, you have to be handicapped to play a handicap role. I'll never forget them going after Bryan Cranston a couple years ago for that Kevin Hart movie.
Isn't it called?
Where they were pissed that he wasn't in a wheelchair.
Like, why are you acting like this?
Yeah.
What's the operative word in that sentence?
Acting.
Acting is a profession.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, it's like, I can name two Al Pacino movies. Scarface, where he was Cuban, and Carlito's Way, where he was Puerto Rican. And it's like, now he couldn't be in either one of those movies.
No, you couldn't do any of it. And the way everything is going, aren't you glad that we're almost about to die, Gilbert? Like I feel like we've pushed it as far as we can go. And, you know, if I don't wake up tomorrow and I don't have to see any more of this bullshit, I don't really fucking care anymore.
Yeah. It gets worse. It doesn't get better.
No, and all these voices that are speaking out about what you should and shouldn't say or should and shouldn't do don't actually do any of the things. They're just bitching about it so other people will get behind them. It's crazy. And look, I know you went through something similar like this. What did they quote-unquote cancel you for? Was it something Asian or something like that?
I did some jokes about the tsunami. Like, because I, you know, like how I always, I mean, to me, it's like I always do jokes, you know, whatever. It makes me laugh when people say too soon.
Yeah, same.
Because
too soon is just jealousy.
You can do jokes about the Titanic, and that's considered okay. And to me, that is so hypocritical. Because, you know, what you're saying is fuck the people who died on the Titanic.
Yeah.
But it's years, so it's okay. And, but yeah, I got fired as the Aflac duck. And so they fired me, got loads of free press off it, hired a guy to imitate my voice for less money, thus bringing closure to a horrible tragedy.
You know what you should have done? You should have found the duck and like held the duck hostage or some shit.
Yeah. Until, like, yeah.
Stop using my fucking voice. Cause it's a duck, right?
It's a duck, but all of comedy's like that. And the thing about it is with you in particular, you've always had that style for years and years and years. It's not like they didn't know who they were hiring or who they were working with. So why were they so fucking shocked is what I don't understand.
I think it was convenient outrage so they could get someone cheaper.
Yeah, it makes sense because, you know, you were doing that campaign for years and years and years, and they probably got tired of paying you residuals and all that stuff.
What about so I somebody in the chat just asked about Hollywood Squares. Can you imagine what that show would be right now?
Oh, boy.
If it existed, that would be the most insufferable garbage of all time.
Yeah. You can't say anything.
Like Gilbert Gottfried, I always think of something like The Aristocrats. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like you can go on this whole long spiel and say some super fucked up shit. Everybody, and look, Bob Saget was the most fucked up human being of all time, probably. Still is. And he's Danny Tanner. Everybody remembers him as Danny Tanner. People are able to have both of those thoughts in their mind at the same time.
Yeah.
And exist. Their heads don't explode.
I know.
World doesn't end. Jesus Christ.
What's it like talking to other comedians that you came up with? Do you guys sit and chat about like the disaster that Hollywood's become where you're just like, all right, thank God we're out of this now and don't have to deal with this shit that much?
Well, you know, the funny thing now, with everything getting so correct and so overly sensitive, there are people I know who, like a short while ago, I could have told them a joke and they'd be rolling on the floor. And now if I told them the same joke, they like get that look on their face like, oh, I'm not part of this.
And then you've got to sit there and be like, well, are we still friends anymore? Do you, are you worried just about getting canceled or this joke or whatever it is?
Yeah, it's like the friendship could be canceled.
but that's what it feels like. People have taken sides. It has affected friendships, relationships, and everything else in between. And it feels like every day it's somebody new. Again, yesterday was Lin-Manuel Miranda. Mm. This morning, Chrissy Teigen. They dug up some more shit on her.
But she's some of the fucked up stuff she says is actually criminal, though.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care about the trolling stuff. Yeah, that is what it is. Some of the stuff is actually criminal. But I did enjoy, I think it was it Charles Barkley that said, today, anybody, or PC people and anybody trying to cancel me can kiss my ass.
Yeah.
And that is actually the most effective tool against cancel culture. If you just tell people they can't cancel you, then they can't.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, honestly, it's that easy.
You just
like,
say you're not going to you do
might
that lose, today.
You might not be the Affleck duck anymore.
Right.
Right? Like, but in your case, and one of the reasons you're here to do the show is Cameo. We're in a creator economy now. If you're talented like that, if you can draw eyeballs, you can do whatever the fuck you want and make money.
Yeah, people love you on Cameo. What's the craziest shit they ask you to do on Cameo?
Yeah, I'm on Cameo. Oh, that's cameo.com/Gilbert Gottfried. And I've three times been asked to announce a sex change operation.
Really?
Yeah. And that's true. And another time it was weird. They asked me to read something. And then all over the internet, they were showing what I read and proving with it that I had plans of blowing up the Golden Gate Bridge. Wow. And it was so much evidence they found. I believed it. I thought, I guess I'm smarter than I thought. Nah, have explosives and I'm going to blow up the Golden Gate Bridge.
Now, how'd that all work out?
Yeah, how'd that work out for you? You see?
It's the Golden Gate Bridge is gone. And,
I think for me personally, if you'll do anything, you know, I think I'll hop on Cameo and just have you read the I Have a Dream speech by Martin Luther King. I'm sure that'll be fine, right? Is there things you won't do? Because it does say that. There's a disclaimer at the bottom saying the artist can turn down anything. Have you ever turned down anything?
Sometimes, well, I have a business one that they'll have to pay more if it's a business thing, like, because they're basically asking you to do a commercial. But I get scared sometimes when, like, someone will say, tell Bill I'm going to come over there and kill him. And because you're thinking, well, that could be a joke. Hey, Bill, I'm going to kill you. Or it could actually, they actually are going to go over and kill the guy. and then it'll be all over the internet. Gilbert is joking about someone's death.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gilbert takes part in someone's murder.
But to be fair, if you were going to get murdered,
it would be awesome.
It'd be kind of cool.
It was, I mean, by, like, Gilbert Gottfried.
Whenever you get to hell, you'd be like, hey, what happened? Like, my buddy killed me. Like, really? That's why? I don't know why, but you're not going to believe this. But right before it happened, he showed up like John Cusack with a boombox over his head playing Gilbert Gottfried's voice, letting me know he's about to kill me and say anything. So, I mean, shit. That's a good story.
I feel like nowadays, I feel like every joke should come with a set of instructions that say, if you like the joke, laugh. If you don't like the joke, don't laugh.
Yeah. Yeah. The whole structure of everything now is crazy to me. I big fan for a very, very long time. I'd love to go back to your SNL days. What was it like working on Saturday Night Live?
Oh, God, that was the worst time to be on that show, because it was like the original cast had just left. Mm-hmm. And it would be kind of like if when Friends was at its peak, if the cast of Friends left and you rehired all those characters and said, yeah, now just keep watching the show and pretend you don't notice anything different. And so people were panning the show even before it got on the air, because it was sacrilege to continue the show without the same cast. I mean, now the cat, when was the, now it's so weird. When was the last time you knew you could name the cast of Saturday Night Live?
Man, that's it's a great question. Dan and I chatted about this the other day. I think it was that Tina Fey era. Once you got out of Tina Fey and Amy Poehler, that's kind of when I was checked out of it.
I mean, Kenan Thompson was still there.
Kenan Thompson's been there since 1977.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. But he was there. But I, as far as the rest of the, I remember Tina Fey and Amy Poehler. I remember Jimmy Fallon, mm-hmm. Jason Sudeikis. I guess a couple seasons, but mostly after that. I think
2000s, right? That's about. Yeah, that's about it for me.
I think it was the Norm Macdonald era. That's when I remember most of it. Like David Spade was there, Farley was there,
yep.
Sandler was on the tail end, but he was there. I remember all those guys.
2000s had some good years. Was Eddie Murphy on your cast that year, or was that the year after?
Okay. Eddie Murphy was on my cast. Originally, they hired him as a featured player, but then they made him into a regular cast member.
Yeah, he was fantastic. Look, you got to see him every single day. What was he like at that age? Because if memory serves me correct, I think he was about 19 years old, probably.
Something like that. He was young, yeah.
Yeah. Was that weird? Because, I mean, shit, you're 19 years old. You get thrown on Saturday Night Live. The whole cast has been chucked. And it's, I mean, you threw away some heavy hitters. Chevy Chase was gone. Belushi was gone. Bill Murray was gone. And then, hey, there's Gilbert Gottfried and then a 19-year-old black kid that we've never heard of. Like, for real.
In fact, that's how they introduced the show. The announcer would say, it's Saturday Night Live, and it's with Gilbert Gottfried and a 19-year-old black kid. You don't know his name.
How long did you end up staying there?
Because I was there for less than one season, because they took the show off. We were just starting to work on the next week show, and they already announced. And the way I found out, well, first it was weird because I was sitting in an office. It wasn't our office. It was just some office that was empty. And I was sitting there with Eddie Murphy, and we were just hanging around talking. And then someone pokes their head in and says, Eddie, there's a message for you. And Eddie picks up the phone and goes, yeah, yeah. Oh, shit. No, I won't tell anybody. And then right as he's hanging up the phone, he says, they just fired Gene Demania. and then that spread throughout the cast, and everyone knew she was fired. But then there was an announcement from her that she was fired, which was weird because everyone had to act shocked. And to make matters worse, it's like, you know, she's crying. There's other people there crying. And then the door opens up and they wheel in a birthday cake because it's her birthday. And they start, as this is the announcement that she's been fired, they're going, happy birthday to you. It was deranged. And then they brought in Dick Ebersol.
President of NBC, yeah.
Yeah, that was, and he said, look, you know, I'm just going to make some minor changes here. Take a week off and you'll come back. And so we, the next week, everybody's waiting outside his office to see what's going to happen. And there used to be a table where they'd put fan letters. And I saw one addressed to me from some girl from Indiana. And it started out, "Dear Gilbert, I'm so sorry about what happened to you." And that's how I found out I was fired.
Oh, shit.
No way.
Yeah, yeah. A fan, this girl, like teenage girl, knew before I did.
So what do you do? Do you take this fan letter up to, you know, Lauren's office and say, hey, well, actually, Lauren was off for a year. Was that 1980 that he was gone?
Yeah, this was Dick Ebersol.
Okay, yeah. Do you go into Dick Ebersol's office and say, hey, I just got a fan mail from a little girl in Indiana saying I was fired. Is that true? And how did she know before me?
Yeah, I know. I just went in and had to act surprised. Like, a surprise party is coming and they go, surprise. And you got to go, oh, I had no idea. You guys.
It's like when your friend comes out as gay. And you're like, dude,
that's the least shocking news I've heard.
Yeah, we've been having to pretend you were straight for years. This is a relief to everybody.
Yeah.
Please, if you're out there, come out to your friends. They know you're gay. Yeah. I promise you.
It's like, that's one of those things that I always think, well, who exactly were you fooling?
They were trying to keep it on the down low from God for a while. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, it's like the two that got me, how the world went into shock were Ellen DeGeneres and Rosie O'Donnell. And everyone, it was like all over the news. And I was thinking, who didn't know this?
Yeah. It's strange because there was a shift where, you know, everybody was coming out and they were like, I'm coming out and it's this. And you're like, no one cares anymore.
Yeah. When George Michael in 92 got caught in that men's room in the LA park.
Yeah.
I was like, are you George Michael?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
No one was shocked. Dude, that guy came to most of his shows with cum stains on his shirt. Are you fucking kidding me?
I was shocked. I thought George was on the up and up, but, he wasn't, but I remember in that early 90s portion, yeah, like Ellen and Rosie, you had to make that type of announcement to do it. Now nobody gives a shit anymore, but that was kind of the last of that era, I think.
Now you have to announce that your three-year-old is trans.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
Like our three-year-old Jeff is now going by bzz, just a buzz, yeah, like a buzz, yeah, sound. Yeah. Like, get the fuck out of here, man.
Oh, that's another thing. The idea of that someone doesn't go by he or her anymore. Mm. And sometimes they're named them or they.
Yep.
And it's like, it not only is it sickening, it's improper English.
Yeah. It's almost
you
like the third person.
Them went to the movies today or.
Yeah. Or they did. And it's just like, well, all right, great. Who went? Well, it was not I, but they, and then them, but that's also me, and then we all went to the movies together, and it was
do me a favor and don't, you can do whatever you want, but don't try to force me under penalty of law or the loss of my career to participate in the delusion. You know what I mean? For fuck's sake. I don't care about any of this shit. Just shut the fuck up.
I know.
Like, if it was real, people would just be like, all right, cool. I'm just going to go live my life.
Yep.
But it's not.
No.
Right?
No.
People that are that intent on convincing everybody else are really trying to convince themselves. Like that gay dude again. It's like, oh, man, let's go get some pussy. And everybody's like, come on, dude.
Yeah.
Just go home and fucking finger your butthole like we know you want to. Stop living a lie. Stop. If you're trying that hard to convince everybody else, I promise you that you're trying to convince yourself and yourself alone.
Yeah,
because even you know that it's a fucking ruse, that it's all bullshit.
Yeah, I've known so many of gay guys who spend the whole conversation going, oh, you should have seen the girl I was fucking last night.
Yeah.
And I'm going, who are you fooling?
I want to go through the rest of your career here because, again, I grew up with you. I feel like you've been in everything. off the top of your head, was there any project? Because, I mean, look, a guy like you, you've got 178 credits on IMDb, for Christ's sakes. Monstrous. Was there one job that you were like, this was the absolute worst I've ever had, and there is nothing close to this?
Oh, God. That's 90% of my career. I remember one of the early jobs I had. They were advertising. They had talent night, and it was in a bookstore where you really want to hear a comic at a bookstore. And so that was awful. I remember one thing I didn't do. This was years later. I didn't do this, but I remember walking down the street and hearing like some comedy routine in the street. And I look over, and in a laundromat, they have a sign that says comedy night. And they have a mic and comics going up, which you really, you know, you're already fucking hate being at the laundromat late at night. You already want to kill yourself. And to have comics there is like beyond. That's like handing you the gun.
Nothing will get him more than a good suicide joke.
You're speaking my language right now. I'm not going to lie. I've got two guns right here on the table. One's real, and one is for our employees when they fuck up.
Yeah.
Last week I got mad, so I made our assistant buy us one of these. And then whenever shit goes sideways, I shoot the employees.
Yeah. Because we don't have HR here, Gilbert, so it really doesn't fucking matter.
Actually, I want to hire that duck from Aflac for HR. You know if he's available?
Yeah. Well, you can get him cheaper. You can get him real cheap right now. But you've done everything from, like, you look, crank anchors to problem child.
Yeah, but what's your first experience with him is probably...
I think problem child.
It was probably Beverly Hills Cop, actually.
Yeah, look.
Maybe a problem child, because you were like 35 years old. That movie came out.
I was a small boy. I'm very, very young.
Problem Child came out 1990. You were about 40 years old at that point.
No, I was about four, I think, at the time. But Beverly Hills Cop, yes. It actually was. And you were reunited with Eddie Murphy.
Yeah.
Did he had something to do with that since you were on SNL together?
No. As a matter of fact, when I ran into him on the set, he said he didn't know I was in the movie till he saw that The Dailies.
Mm. Oh, really?
What, was he a was he a director on that?
No.
Why was he looking at dailies?
He's a producer.
Well, not the daily, like the...
the call sheet.
The sheet.
Oh, the call sheet. Yeah. Okay, I see.
The call sheets. Yeah. The call sheets.
I mean, not that he wouldn't be able to do that. I'm just saying. He was young.
And
then.
What was fun about that is, like, we just ignored the script, and we would keep just making stuff up.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was a better version. Like, your version, I think they stole it in Lethal Weapon with Joe Pesci.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
I think
that was just them stealing that character. Not stealing. People borrow shit all the time and redo it their own way. But that Joe Pesci character in Lethal Weapon, what, 2, 3, and 4, I think he was in?
Correct, yeah.
Or 2, or maybe 3 and 4, I don't remember. But that was certainly based on you in fucking Beverly Hills Cop. Which is, look, if Pesci and Gibson and all these guys see something you're doing and want to recreate it, that's not exactly an insult, is it?
Yeah, not at all.
Because they were prolific in the 90s.
Well, like, it was an insult when he started doing it, and Mel Gibson said, "Stop doing that Jew." That was the only thing.
Mel Gibson got kind of canceled for a while, but then not canceled. What happened?
Well, he got canceled once for the sugar tits thing with the cops, right?
Right.
He was calling the cops sugar tits, and he was hammered,
right.
And then he was saying a bunch of anti-Semitic shit. And then he came back, and then he got re-canceled with the new wife, because he got remarried after like 40 years to this gold digger.
Yeah.
She videotaped all of his shits, and then he got canceled again. And now he's back like nothing ever happened. I just saw him in a Christmas movie.
It makes you wonder, if I was an Instagram thought, or Momstar model, excuse me.
Sure.
If I was an Instagram model, what I would be trying to do is hook up with an older celebrity and then just video everything he says.
Yeah.
Like at some point, we all say something anti-Semitic almost every day. Probably for you, right? For you, it's almost every day. He just comes in the morning. He's like, "Fucking goddamn Jews, man!" I'm like, "Whoa, take it easy."
Could you imagine if I did? And I was like, "Man, that Anne Frank shit is fake, dude. Yeah. Fake news."
So
man.
We had. So that would be my plan. Forget about going to the Saudi guy's yacht. All you gotta do is hook up with Mel Gibson. You can get fucking $200 million out of that deal. Well, he's rich as shit.
Yeah, I mean, look at like Gilbert. Are you married right now?
Oh yeah.
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 At what point is the other foot gonna drop in your wife?
Right now, my wife is recording this.
She's just waiting for you to say something.
And she's waiting for me to say something about the Jews.
Can you imagine being a Jewish person and then getting canceled for saying, like, telling Jew jokes? Can people tell anymore? Because I feel like outrage culture has reached this level where there's no sense of irony or perspective.
Yeah.
Like, people are like, "You fucking said this." Like, well, that's I grew up like that. So yeah. I'm making a joke about my own life and my own people. Can I do that?
I remember, it's funny you say that, because I remember reading this article 2 days ago. They got a new prime minister over in Israel, right? And yeah, the headline said, BB's tech. Out. Yeah, they said tech millionaire whose parents went to Berkeley or left wingers. I actually read the article. Mm-hmm. They went to college in Berkeley, moved to Israel in 1965 or 66.
Right.
Have been living there for 50 years, and it's like, nope, you're not good enough here. It's all just a crock of shit.
Ridiculous.
Across the board. But I think for you, Gilbert, you don't have a choice but to stay married. That's the way I feel, because otherwise somebody's going to videotape you saying some dumb shit like Dan said.
Yeah, for sure. Come on.
Yeah, your wife knows.
Now it's like you can't say something if you're sitting by yourself at home.
Yeah.
You got to be afraid what you say.
100%. I've got friends that text me, like some of my actor friends that text me, and they're bleeping out their own words like fuck and things like that. And I'm like, who is this for? Because it's definitely not for me.
Well, I mean, look, if you're talking to people that much, you don't know you're always talking to a friend these days.
Yeah, right? I guess so.
That's why I say all of my super fucked up shit right here on camera.
Exactly. Exactly. Like this next one. You were in Hannah, Montana. Did you know that Miley Cyrus is going to be such a whore? Totally kidding.
Well, I remember when I was on the show, I saw her one day in a pair of tight denim short shorts. And I remember thinking, I got to find out exactly how old she is before I go back to the hotel and jerk off.
Did she make the cut line? Was it 18? Were you good on that one?
Well, it depends on the state you're in, too. Because some states, it's 17. So,
yeah. Did you hop on a flight? Did you hop on a flight immediately after the show was over and fly to that state where it's 17?
Yeah.
Texas?
I think Texas is 18, actually.
Is it?
Texas, Florida, California, New York.
There you go.
All the big ones.
There you go.
Right? But most states are actually, I think 36 states are 17.
I know this,
Gilbert, not because I'm a pervert. But because I was a sergeant in the Army, and every time my guys went on leave, I had to tell them, like, I would look at their birthday, and I would give them a number like you see for buying cigarettes at the gas station. Mm-hmm. Do not fuck anybody born after this date.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
And that's real,
oh
by the way.
My I'm not even kidding. God.
Yeah. Gilbert, you've got a podcast. You know we got sponsors who actually pay for this to be on the air. First and foremost, ghostbed.com/drinkingbros. Back at it like a crack addict. We are with Ghostbed for 2 more years. We love their products. More importantly, you love their products. Every review on their site is actually from a Drinking Bros listener. So when you go to ghostbed.com/drinkingbros, all those reviews that you're seeing are you guys. It's a genius idea. I don't know why unlike any other company doesn't do that. It's just, it's crazy to me, but it makes total sense because it's like, all right, yeah, shit, man. If you're going to buy something that is, you know, relatively expensive, Ghostbed's got a great deal, obviously with 30% off, but still a mattress is a big decision. You might as well know the people who are actually writing these reviews. So they're not fake humans. I'm sure you see most of their names in the message boards on YouTube, on our YouTube channel and all that stuff. So That's awesome. They've always had deals for military and first responders. These guys are the best in the business. That's why we decided to go with them for another 2 years as our title sponsor. Not very many complaints in the years and years and years we've had GhostBed. If you're in the market for a new mattress right now, when you buy one, they're giving you two free pillows. Go to ghostbed.com/shrinkingbros today. And as always, they got a pay-as-you-go program. No interest there. As long as your credit is relatively decent, go to ghostbed.com/drinkingbros today. Get yourself a new mattress and some pillows. Next up, D'Anthony.
Ooh.
Theragun. Man.
You know who really likes Theragun?
Everyone.
Chet Skovland.
Yeah, he does.
Loves Theragun. Probably loves more than any human being I've ever met. Now, Chet Skovland, for those of you who don't know and haven't seen it yet, is Jack Mandeville. And I highly recommend you go to our Instagram and find that video.
Yep.
It's hilarious. We were just kind of dicking around in the studio one day, and I was like, hey, we need to do a Theragun commercial.
Yeah.
Let's, Jack, just do something. And that's what he did.
That's what he did.
Yeah.
That's what he did. The Theragun, though, has been stolen by everybody in the office.
Well, you took yours home. Mine's still floating around here somewhere. And
I had to take it home.
Every now and again, I just hear it.
It's Giorgio
ironing out his legs.
Yep.
Yeah. Basically,
yeah.
Every single day.
I had to take that. The second it arrived at the office, I took it home and I was like, no one is getting this. This is the greatest thing ever. Look, Theragun used to be crazy expensive. Not anymore. These things, look, if you don't know what they are, you've probably seen them in a CrossFit gym or whatever. Everybody used to share one because they were expensive. But now they are not any longer, and they're on the show. It makes us feel like we're big time here. Don't let the stress of daily life weigh on your body, whether you're an elite athlete or someone like me who's kind of both, right? I'm in between. Elite podcast host, elite athlete. Flip a coin on that one. If you're just trying to make it through the day tension-free, Theragun can help. Theragun is a handheld percussive therapy device, if you don't know what it is, that releases your deepest muscle tension using scientifically calibrated combo of depth, speed, power, and it is as quiet as an electric toothbrush. The Gen 4 Theragun doesn't just feel good. It gets to the source of the pain by releasing the tension using Theragun's signature percussive therapy, which goes 60% deeper than the vibration alone. That is 100% true, by the way.
It is
the best.
It's pretty incredible. It's got a multitude of attachments as well,
mm-hmm,
to get into all those nooks and crannies, but it is... I've used some of the off-brand ones before, just out of curiosity.
See, not even like close to as good.
It's like loud,
yep,
jerky, and sucks. Like, you can tell that it's made poorly. This Theragun is made with extreme care, clearly. Yep.
So whether you want to treat your muscles after a workout, an injury, whatever, the stresses of everyday life, there is no substitute, I'm telling you, for the Theragun Gen 4. The OLED screen and design make you feel like you're holding something from the future. Just go to their site and check it out. And the Theragun app learns from your behaviors and suggested guided routines. It's the very best in the business. Try Theragun for 30 days, starting at this is crazy. This is only $199. These things used to be like $1,500 back in the day. Now they're only $199. Go to Theragun.com/drinkingbros right now and get your Gen 4 Theragun today. That's Theragun.com/drinkingbros. Theragun.com/drinkingbros. Best in the biz. Last but not least, KillCliff.com. Promo code Drinking Bros, 20% off and free shipping on that. And that's a big deal. We're getting ready for these seltzers, going through these shipping numbers as we speak. When you get free shipping, it is a big deal. The CBD is still my favorite. Joe Rogan, Flamin' Joe, is back in stock. 25 milligrams of every single CBD in every single can on that one. Joe's not only got the CBD version of his drink, but he's also got the Ignite version of his drink. KillCliff.com is now combined with KillCliffCBD.com. Promo code Drinking Bros will get you 20% off and free shipping. I am still on their CBD tip, man. There is no THC in it. You will not piss hot on a drug test. And there is nothing better that goes with vodka at the end of a long day than some motherfucking KillCliff. Go to KillCliff.com. Promo code Drinking Bros gets you 20% off and free shipping. Thank you, Gilbert.
Because military dudes are dumb as shit. They go back to their hometowns. They're 19 now, and everybody they grew up with 18 or 19. They're younger.
Yeah.
Typically, right?
Yeah.
So
and look, everybody's trying to capture something in somebody else and blah, blah, blah. So it sucks. The Tonight Show with Jay Leno. Late Night appears to be dead. You were on this show numerous times at its height. What was Jay like in real life?
I like Jay. And it was funny because they made him out to be like the villain back then. And
you mean between him and Conan and how that went down?
Yeah.
It's so weird how, like, a couple of years ago, the biggest news item that was being reported on 24 hours was the war of Jay Leno, David Letterman, and Conan O'Brien. And I thought, now, I mean, nobody remembers David Letterman, and nobody knows that whether or not Conan has a show on TV. And it's so, that was so important.
Yeah, it's weird, right?
At
the time, a lot of people cared about everyone that died on the Titanic. Now, clearly, nobody gives a shit.
No one cares.
Yeah.
No one cares.
I actually recreate it every year on the anniversary. I get in my bathtub with a fucking big-ass piece of chunk of ice.
Yeah.
And a Titanic model. And I try to imagine what it may have looked like. And then I meditate on the fact that Leonardo DiCaprio definitely could have fit on that door.
Yeah.
Are you fucking kidding me?
And then we get a full orchestra.
Yeah,
there.
We do. Yeah.
And I always, that's one of those movies. There's a bunch of movies like this. I always wish there was a sequel. And in the sequel, what's her name? Kate Winslet, who couldn't stand the rich guy and was in love with the poor Leonardo DiCaprio, that DiCaprio lives. They get married and she sees like this rat-infested walk-up that he lives in and goes, well, why can't we live in a big mansion? And let's go out to dinner tonight at a fancy restaurant. And he's like, picking garbage out of the can.
That's a different story she's telling her granddaughter.
Yeah, it is.
Like, I gave up everything for true love. And then the moral of the story is to not do that.
Yeah, because
stay with the rich guy, honey.
Stay with the rich, because she would have told her grandkids, look, don't fuck a poor guy.
Yeah.
It's the worst experience of your life.
Completely.
Yeah, agree. She would be saying, I was married to this rich guy. I got a new wardrobe every week. We had servants taking care of us every second. And then I wound up with this poor guy who didn't have shit.
But he could paint, so.
He was a really good artist, though.
I think it would recreation they did in Not Another Teen Movie where she just paints the googly-eyed thing is so funny. Anyways, I want to pitch you another sequel. It's The Bible Part 2. It's Jesus. This time it's personal. And Jesus comes back and starts fucking everybody up.
Yes.
Right?
But he's got like modern technology, so he's got an AK.
Right. Which is funny because technically, according to the story, he's God, so I don't know why he would need any of this shit. He could just like shoot lightning out of his hands like Emperor Palpatine or some shit.
Yeah.
Maybe it's that. Maybe it's a Star Wars crossover.
Yeah. Yeah.
With Jesus. The whole time Palpatine rips his thing off and it's Jesus. He's like, I came back and you guys did not treat me well.
Yeah, Gilbert, you'd be a great Jesus. I don't know what your day quote is.
Yeah,
but,
give us your best
your day
Jesus,
rate.
Give us your best Jesus impression.
Yeah. Ow! What are you hammering these nails in me for? Do you know who my father is?
Jesus is a Chad.
And why he's sitting by and he ain't doing shit for me, I don't understand.
Wow, so Jesus is a petulant Chad with an attorney father.
Yeah.
An absentee attorney father.
Yeah,
I can see it.
I can see it, too, because I just saw you. I remember seeing you on Netflix as Hitler. I think it was last year.
Yes, I was on the historical roasts.
Yeah. And you were Adolf Hitler.
And you know what gets me when they talk about God and all his power? It's like, I love these stories where someone says, you know, that they were like trapped in a coal mine disaster, or they were whatever. They were tied up by some maniac, and they prayed to God for help, and a beam of sunlight hit a leaf. And I'm thinking, that's not what anyone's asking for at those times. It seems to me like God is now doing, like, that's like doing a card trick.
I think Family Guy did a bit on that one time. They were like,
he's been on Family Guy, yeah, too.
They mentioned that maybe Jesus had embellished his powers and he was just doing like sleight of hand magic and shit in front of people.
You've worked with speaking of Family Guy, you've worked with Seth MacFarlane numerous times. You were in the Western movie he did too.
Yeah.
Oh, I was, A Million Ways to Die in the West, yeah.
I was, yeah, Million Ways to Die in the West, and I was Abraham Lincoln. And I remember when I sat down in the makeup chair, the makeup woman told me that Seth said to her, just make him look as much like Daniel Day-Lewis as possible.
Did you study the same way as Daniel Day-Lewis? Did you, were you in character for that for 3 years or no?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. I studied. I'd walked around with a top hat and I got shot in the theater.
Hey, Gilbert, you're going to tell him the story of Sorbo on the set.
Oh yeah.
You're going to enjoy this.
Shit, dude. I did this movie. I wrote this movie called FDR American Badass, that I directed. And I'd worked with Kevin Sorbo on a previous movie, and it was like a spoof movie. And he's in on the bit, and he's great, and he's fun to work with, and he's really, really funny. And you wouldn't expect it out of Kevin Sorbo, but
it's a very straight-faced comedy too for a guy that you wouldn't expect straight-faced comedy from.
So we're sitting at lunch one day, and I go, "Is there any character that you've never played that you've wanted to play?" And he just looks at me, it's like matter of fact, and he goes, "Yeah, Abraham Lincoln." And I was like, oh, all right, well, shit. I'm doing this presidential movie next. I was like, I think I could write in like a flashback scene of you getting high with FDR on top of the White House and then flying him around in the wheelchair all over the Washington, D.C. And he goes, I'd love to do it. Love to do it. So I get him there. He does it. He does the Abraham Lincoln. He's in full character, wardrobe, makeup with the warts, the beard, everything else. He walks up to a black PA on set and he goes, you're welcome. And the black PA goes, for what? You know, and he goes, I freed you. And he just kept on walking. I had to stop the black PA. And I was like, I go, hey, man. That's just Sorbo's humor. Like, it's super, like, he doesn't care, and then he kind of moves on. I could tell you, like, a million stories about that guy. That movie we did, there was an old woman who was, like, 88 years old, and I think you probably get this all the time, where she walks out of her house, and she's got her dog. She's walking the dog in the morning, and she goes, oh, my God, aren't you the guy from Hercules? And he goes, yes, ma'am, I am. And she goes, I used to love you on that show. And he looks at her and he goes, well, you still could. Slaps her on the shoulder and keeps going. I'm sure you get that all the time where everybody knows who you are and they remember you from one thing. And they were like, I used to be the biggest fan of yours. And you're like, well, I'm still doing a million movies and voices and all that other stuff.
Oh, yeah. They act like you've disappeared, like you died years ago.
Who played the parrot in the Will Smith version of Aladdin, by the way? Who did the voice for that?
Yeah.
There was no parrot?
No, they voice. Did, but I don't know who
there was no
it.
Voice.
Yeah, there's no voice.
My favorite tweet that I got when the new Aladdin came out was some guy said, if I go and see the new Aladdin and Gilbert Gottfried's not the voice of the parrot, I can't be held responsible for my actions in the theater.
That's good. That's good. I like that.
It's amazing how people take this shit seriously. Was it because of what you said that they didn't bring you back? Was there any discussion?
No, but they made it like I don't think anybody from the original was back.
No. And the parrot didn't even have a voice in this one.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, which is kind of weird.
I didn't bother with it, man. I was good with Gilbert's version, and I was like, all right, cool. We don't need to remake all this bullshit and keep pretending that it's...
I don't understand why everybody's remaking things in the first place. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, it's the cut down on the risk of, all right, do people not know this brand or this product or whatever?
Do you think it's that, or do you think they're trying to bridge old generation with new generation somehow?
I think it's both, and there's a feeling of familiarity and comfort. But I feel like it's like that with you, Gilbert. Like, dude, when you show up in something, it's like, all right, great. It's Gilbert Godfrey. We're here.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, and it, well, it's funny. That's why there's been these movies that had like about 20 sequels to them.
Yep.
And each one is worse than the last one. But it's like, you know, you go there, you go, oh, well, okay, I'm comfortable with this. It's like getting a name brand at the supermarket.
Yeah. Yeah, it's strange, and I think that's why they're doing it, and they're rebooting all this stuff. I know you did the voice in Ninja Turtles and all that stuff.
Wait, which voice in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles did you do?
Do you remember? You've done so many things. Do you remember?
Krang
the Brain? That was you?
Yeah.
yes.
Jesus Christ.
Although I think they had a few other people doing it, too. I did it about 3 or 4 times.
Krang
the Sublime. And I was Jerry the Belly Button Elf on Ren and Stimpy for an episode.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You did a cameo on SpongeBob 2 years ago, it says here.
Yeah, you're
That's
always...
That's got to be fun, man. Do you have a studio in your house now so you can record your VO work?
No, never had a studio, although during the pandemic, I would... I do have a microphone and a setup like that now, because of the podcast.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast. And so I did like 2 or 3 voiceovers for my house. But I know there are some of these I heard about them years ago, that there were these voiceover guys. You know, they get out of bed in their pajamas and just sit in front of the mic.
Yep.
And they'll like turn out like, you know.
Seriously, a guy on our network, Adam Ray, does a lot of it.
I've got a buddy, John DiMaggio, that does it.
Yeah, DiMaggio. He was Bender on Futurama.
Yeah. And I don't remember him ever going into a studio.
No, and
he was the first guy. He was the first friend of mine that had his own studio in the house.
A lot of guys started doing. It started out as musicians, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously, singers would have them, but then it morphed into this. And there's another guy. I can't remember his name. Giorgio, do you remember the other guy who was on that show with Adam and Chuck and Jonathan Kite and all those guys? I'm sure Kite's probably got one at his house, right?
Yeah,
he does impressions all the time. But there's this other guy that we know. He does great impressions too, and he's got a full on. He doesn't leave his house.
No, ever, never.
Like,
never.
For, I mean, he's. I don't know if he's agoraphobic or if he's just like, what's the point?
Yeah, yeah.
It's probably a little bit of both.
To me, it's kind of what's the point? It's all these sure 7Bs. So you're good at that point.
Yeah, seriously. How much does this mic cost, Giorgio?
$3.99
for this. And the smaller version is like $180, I think, the one that's over there on that
table.
Yeah,
the handheld, yeah.
Or no, not even the handheld. That one right there, the shorter version.
Yeah.
You can set your whole studio. You can set a studio up in your house in a spare bedroom for like $2,000, including like a nice one with shit on the walls that are directing sound and everything. Why do people continue to go into these places? I don't get it.
I don't either. Because Gilbert, I would have you redo the 91 Emmy Awards, your bit about Paul Rubens over and over again, just on VO, just so I could rehab that, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, Peter. Or Petter. I don't know how you say it.
Petter Michael.
Petter. Peter.
Do you remember that, Gilbert, doing the 91 Emmy Awards?
Yes, it was right around the time that Pee Wee Herman was arrested. Because he was playing with his peewee. Yeah. And I went up on stage and they didn't have anything prepared for me. They said, just have fun. So I went up and I said, I really sleep better knowing Pee-wee Herman's been arrested. If masturbation's a crime, I should be on death row. And then I said, right now, my right hand is like Superman. If you put charcoal in it, I could crush it into a diamond. And how do they know you're masturbating? Do they dust for prints? afterwards, I didn't know anything was wrong. But I got up in front of the press, and the press didn't know anything was wrong yet. So they weren't asking me questions. They felt like, oh, he's not big enough for us to waste our time with. And then I found out from somebody at the party afterwards that on the West Coast, there was a delay. So they censored my whole presentation. It showed in other spots. And it was, oh, and the producer said to the press that if he saw me, he'd kick my ass. And they were, the press was writing about it like it was the worst thing possible that I did.
Yeah. And that was, yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
That was one of the first ones I got where it's like, oh, I'm the biggest enemy on this planet.
Yeah, that's weird. It reminds me of when Bill Burr was on an early morning show a couple years ago. And the lady was, it's like a fucking morning talk show. And she's like, don't you think your jokes about the Catholic Church went a little far? And he goes, don't you think the Catholic Church went a little far?
Yeah.
I'm making up words. They're raping kids and hiding the fucking people that did it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can we get some justice? A level of fucking, you know, something going on here.
Exactly. And by the way, that's why I wanted to bring up the Emmy Awards. You were the first person that I remember to get censored on air. Where, you know, because there used to be an East Coast feed and then a West Coast feed. And then on the West Coast, they had cut your bit out of the show. And then it was a huge controversy afterwards. And you were one of the first comics that I remember getting censored on air. And I was like, oh, shit. Maybe things are getting real here. But I didn't think the jokes were that crazy. You've told worse in your life, obviously.
And the funny thing is that... Then a few months later, on Seinfeld, they did the masturbation episode, and that was considered like, you know, classic.
Yeah,
you know, it's like, you know, I'm the king of my castle, and it was weird, and I heard that they just added the delay to all the other shows after my appearance, which I was very happy about.
Correct. And that's where I was going with this. You almost were the inventor of the 5-second delay that is you currently see in network television. However, they did not get it to it in time for the Super Bowl with Janet Jackson and Justin Timberlake.
Yeah, somehow a nipple is more offensive than politicians getting on television and lying to us every day.
Mm-hmm. And when he pulls her blouse open and she's got that metal design thing over her nipple, I'm thinking, and they said, wardrobe malfunction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm going, oh, so if her blouse was pulled open by accident, that means she walks around with some metal design thing on her nipple. That's the way she goes in her day-to-day life. You know, it was like, it was such, you know, at least say that this is the bit we're doing.
Right.
I mean, they got fined either way in the end, right? No. Did they ever come back and admit that was like they were lying about all that? Because there's got to be, look, the FCC can only sue or like fine you a certain amount,
yeah.
And that's it. Like,
yeah,
it's done.
Timberlake said he issued an apology not very long ago, too, maybe 6 or 7 months ago, about the whole thing and the way she was treated, and he was fine and blah, blah, blah. But it's like, hey, man, that was 20 years ago. I don't really give a shit about that. Mm-hmm. I also remember you being one of the first ones to tell a 9/11 joke. Dead serious. I, if memory serves me correct, it was at a roast or something, and you were the first one to tell a 9/11 joke, and people were like, whoa.
Yeah, it was at the Hugh Hefner roast, and it was like just a couple of days after September 11th, and it was scary. It was like all over the world was in shock. New York, forget it. Because there were black clouds floating in the air for months afterwards.
Right.
So it was a real weird, and I wanted to be the first one to address the elephant in the room. And first I started off slow. I said, tonight I'll be using my Muslim name, Hasan Bin Laden.
And by the way, Saturday Night Live did that with Robert De Niro. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
That whole sketch they did with making fun of Arab names.
Yeah.
And now he's like, oh, we've got to stop this.
Yeah, we've got to stop this. But you went and you went for it and sold
and
the.
So I went on. I was doing some jokes. And then I said, I have to leave early tonight. I have to catch a flight to L.A. I couldn't get a direct flight. We have to make a stop at the Empire State Building. And it was like, I lost an audience as much as anyone in the history of audiences has. And they were booing and hissing. And one guy yelled out too soon, which I thought meant I didn't take a long enough pause between the setup and punchline. And then, after what felt like I was standing there for 200 years, I felt like, why don't I just go to the bottom level of hell? And I went into the aristocrats, which is about incest and bestiality. And the audience was howling.
Yeah.
They
I remember
that.
Watching. It's how do the people in the audience at the time not understand the irony of what's just happened? They got offended by something that is clearly a joke, right? Obviously, but they got offended because of its recency.
Yeah. Where was it shot? Where did you shoot that roast? Was it in L.A. or New York?
It was in New York.
Yeah, it was in New York.
But
everybody remembers the first thing that happened after 9/11, the first any kind of stuff that anybody watched other than just the news for 2 or 3 weeks was late night television, Saturday Night Live,
yeah.
And then the New York Yankees.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
That was it. It was baseball. It was George Bush throwing out the first pitch,
yep,
right?
Yep.
That whole bullshit.
Yeah.
So how do we've been doing this for a long time. Some of the most famous artists in history have been satirists. There are people who fucking realize that life sucks.
Yeah.
And we've got to make fun of it or we're going to kill ourselves, right? That's the reason comedy fucking exists in the first place. It's like comedy is basically like religion. We invented it to keep ourselves sane through this chaotic process of life.
Right.
That's it.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's exactly why comedy exists. And now these people can listen to this shit, get offended by it because it was recent or it had something to do with them. And then you launch into one of the most, if not eloquent, fucking crazy tirades of all time, which is the aristocrats joke.
Yeah.
And then they start to cheer you, even though that's way more fucked up than the first thing you said. How do they not put two and two together there?
Yeah. What was your feeling when you walked off stage that night?
And it was an amazing feeling because it was like, it proved terrorist attack, bad taste. Incest and bestiality, good taste. But also it proved that those people who are getting so offended, they needed to laugh. It was like at that time period, that was so horrible, they needed something to laugh at.
Yeah.
Like if somebody doesn't like asparagus, for example,
mm-hmm.
And they go around telling everybody that orders asparagus, you know what? I don't really like that. That person's an asshole. But if they don't like a joke or a comment or something they see or hear, then they can tell everybody about that forever. And not only is that acceptable, but they're doing the Lord's work. They're on the right side of history. Are you fucking kidding me? If the joke didn't make you laugh, then it wasn't for you.
Right.
Move the fuck along, dude. Jesus
Christ. Look,
I love on the news. I wasn't watching the Super Bowl, but I saw the Janet Jackson nipple thing like 5,000 times because the news would present it at this horrible thing that happened. And we're warning you, this is shocking. And then they would show it. They're reporting. And it was just same thing with me. and the tsunami jokes or the September 11th jokes, they would say, this is horrible. Well, this is not comedy. This is foul taste. And then they would play it. They play it on TV, print it out in the papers. And that always gets me.
Well, what are you working on now? Like, have you been canceled from everything? Or are you still doing a bunch of stuff? Because I feel like you're, I see it everywhere, Netflix and everything else. What are you working on right now?
Okay, well, I have a podcast, mm-hmm. Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast. And of course, I'm on Cameo. Yep. Cameo.com/Gilbert Gottfried, where you get a personalized video shout out from me. And on June 22nd, Connecticut Comedy Festival, Westport, Connecticut, and Bridgeport, Connecticut, July 17th, Lake Park, Florida, August 13th, Black Box Theater, Boca Raton, Florida, August 14th, and you could go to GilbertGottfried.com for tickets.
Yes, big, big fan. Now is the point in the show. We get to the Drinking Bro of the Week, which is someone who has inspired you or helped you become the person you are today. Who would you like to give the Drinking Bro of the Week to, Gilbert?
Oh, God, I don't know. Can you name someone? I'll just go along with it.
Sure. Obviously, I'm going to go Anne Frank on this.
Let's go Greta Thunberg.
Greta Thunberg, I believe.
I don't give a shit.
Yeah, you don't pronounce the G. No, but in all sincerity, who helped you when you were a kid get into comedy? Because that story I don't actually know.
No, that I never actually had any kind of mentor or anything like that. Just I kept showing up at the clubs and, eventually I just started, you just start getting funnier, hopefully. But there was no mentor. No one who ever took me and said, here's the way to do it.
Never. So this could be the first time in the history of the show where the guest actually thanks himself. So therefore, you would be non-binary.
Yeah, I want to thank myself.
Them, yeah.
Right.
Well, I mean, call yourself them, obviously.
McConaughey did it at the Academy Awards. Why can't Gilbert Gottfried do it on Drinking Bros? I mean, McConaughey didn't thank himself on our show, but he did say some pretty nice things about himself.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the respect.
So do I.
If you're that great at something, then you need to also respect yourself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Damn right.
Like, I don't want to catch you disrespecting yourself, Gilbert. You're a legend, and everybody knows it.
Yes.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, you are, and we greatly appreciate your time today. Go to Cameo. Book a video from Gilbert. He's always hilarious, and it is an unbelievable honor to have you on the show. Thank you so much for being on Drinking Bros.
Cameo.com/Gilbert Gottfried.
Yes, get a video for Father's Day. Nothing would make your father happier than to get a video from Gilbert telling you to go fuck yourself.
True.
For Gilbert Gottfried, D'Anthony Holloway, I'm Ross Patterson. We are the Drinking Bros Podcast. Good night, everyone.